If there is one verse in all of the scripture passages we've heard this morning that really ties things together and presents a challenge all at the same time, it's this one that comes towards the end of the second reading from Paul's letter to the church in Rome. Do not conform yourselves to this age, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Do not conform yourselves to this age. That's the challenge that Jeremiah is having to face in the first reading. God has sent him as a prophet to the southern kingdom of Judah because they have so completely fallen out of faithfulness to God that everything has become completely corrupted. Their religious life, their religious practices, the way they're doing things in the temple, and the civil leadership, just all completely fallen apart and out of fidelity to the covenant with God. It's just completely gone. And so he has sent to them to call them to repentance, and they are completely rejecting it. You know, Jeremiah in this particular passage, he's almost in a way kind of lamenting that he heard the call because, you know, you duped me, Lord, you fooled me, you tricked me into doing this, and now I'm being persecuted, I'm being hounded, people are talking about me in the streets, they're making me a joke. So I'm going to stop speaking for you. And yet what happened? The word of God that he's got planted in his heart is so powerful that it's like a fire burning in his bones, and he can't help himself. He has to continue to go out and proclaim it while all the time they're trying to get him to conform to what they're doing and at least shut up and stop bothering them, because, you know, pridefulness doesn't really like to be challenged to repentance, and so they're trying to force him. And they eventually wind up sawing him in half. Yeah. But he can't stop being faithful. He refuses to conform, even with this immense pressure being put upon him. And this is roughly 5 centuries before the coming of Christ. In the gospel passage, you know, this literally picks up where we left off last week after Jesus had said to Peter, "You are rock, and on this rock I will build my church." And he turns around because Peter's saying, "Oh, no, Lord, this crucifixion stuff that you're talking about, that's not going to happen." And he says, "Get behind me, Satan. You've become a literal translation stumbling stone to me." He has to put him down because Peter is trying to get him to conform, because Jesus is consistently and increasingly challenging the immorality of the Jewish religious and civil leadership of his day and calling them to task, calling them to repentance, and they want him to shut up. And, you know, of course, Jesus is not going to shut up, but then you've got this danger zone that's rearing up because, you know, one of the things, you know, obviously they don't want to see Jesus suffer, but at the same time, Rome was such a brutal empire that any hint of somebody being seditious or sowing seeds of any kind of rebellion, they're going to smash it out brutally and rapidly and not let it happen. And not just the leader, they will also go after all the person's followers, which means Peter and the other apostles that are going, "Oh, wait, Jesus, I'm out here." He's saying, "No, here's the cost of following me. You must pick up your cross and follow me." Those who try to save their lives will ultimately actually lose it. But those who surrender themselves, their lives for my sake, will be the ones who actually save it. In other words, what Rome is trying to do, what the Jewish corrupted leaderships are trying to do, are to get them to conform. They want Jesus and his party to conform to what they're doing. They don't want to hear the call to repentance. They don't want to hear the call to becoming his disciples. They want to stamp it out. Peter and the apostles need to hear Jesus' words, which Paul puts into that phrase for us: do not be conformed by this age, but be transformed by the renewal of your minds. How do you renew your mind in Christ? How do you allow it to be transformed by him? By hearing, and I don't mean just hearing, but hearing the scriptures and letting the word of God implant deeply into our hearts and minds so that we are living for him and rejecting the counter influence of the world in which we live. Yeah. Rome, where Peter is writing to, that is a combined community of both pagan and Gentile converts. And, you know, Rome, what a corrupt and wild, crazy place that was back in the first century AD, with all kinds of stuff going on that would make people blush if they had any sense. And so there's this constant temptation surrounding them, especially, you know, those who are Gentile converts who were part of that corrupted lifestyle. They're constantly being tempted, just go back to where you were, you were fine. He says, no, do not conform to this age. Be transformed by the word of God, the renewal of your minds, and live for Christ. Literally make of yourself a living offering to Christ, because that's what brings the power-filled witness to others that is needed for the faith community. You can't bear witness to Christ if you're giving into and going on and going along with whatever the world around us is doing, because that's not just addressed to the church in Rome, is it? Here's a hint. No, it's not just for back then, first century AD. It's also being written to the entire church, stretching across time to our day and until Jesus comes again. We need that scripture passage too. There's a constant challenge. And right now it's really strong to just conform ourselves and go along with whatever is happening in the world around us. And to be quite bluntly honest, the last 3-4 decades, we haven't been doing so well, have we? I mean, look at the state of things. You know, some of you as old as or older than I am, I'm not going to make you own up to it publicly. We've been around a while. And for those of us who are alive in the mid-50s through the 60s and 70s, how much change in culture have we seen? You know, there was a day and time, you know, when TV was very new, and you had a married couple like the Cleavers, like Lucy and Desi, some of those old TV shows. Did you ever see the mother and the father sleeping in the same bed? You know, if they showed a picture of the bedroom, there were always twin beds in there, weren't there? And usually with a nightstand in between. You know, that's how it was back then. But now you've got people hopping into bed who don't even know each other yet. You know, they haven't even taken the time to find out what the other person's name is. And we're supposed to accept that as just, it's perfectly normal. Well, no, it's not. And again, you know, for the 50s, the 60s, and the 70s, on Sunday mornings, especially down here in the South, you know, we moved here in the mid-1960s, what was going on Sunday mornings? Where did Mom and Dad and the kids go on Sunday morning? No matter what your denomination was, you went to church. Whoever heard, from those of us who are from that era, of having football games, baseball games, soccer games, volleyball games, tournaments, diving, swimming championships, and all of that on a Sunday morning? It didn't happen. Why? You ever hear the third commandment? The third of the ten? Which is, keep holy the Sabbath day. And that was part of the culture back then. It was inconceivable that you would reprioritize your Sunday morning for anything other than time with the Lord in church. Inconceivable. Were the grocery stores open? No. Were the drug stores open? Were the liquor stores open? Of course, down here in the South at that time, there weren't liquor stores. Not like up north, anyway. But there's been this complete cultural shift since then. And instead of being transformed by the renewal of our minds, we let the culture overwhelm us and we conform ourselves to it. I mean, there's a general expectation now, Sunday morning, you want to go do your grocery shopping? Store's open. If you want to play football, basketball, soccer, whatever other sport, participate in it, you better show up at the game on Sunday morning, or you will lose your place on the team. And guess what? In general, Christianity in America just gave into it. We allowed the culture to reshape our priorities and gave in. It's exactly the opposite of what Paul's trying to teach us to do. Do not conform ourselves to the spirit of the age. And we did exactly that. COVID, all those lockdowns. And the bishops gave in. They put out a general mandate that the obligation to attend Mass on Sundays is suspended. Now, granted, in the very early days, we didn't really know what was going on, so there's a little bit of logic to it, but it lasted for almost 2 full years. Long after we discovered that we were being lied to in a massive way, and the end result was, you know, our attendance here used to be average between 1,100 to 1,200 people a Sunday. Now it's kind of amazing if we make it up to 9. Where did everybody go? We conformed to not this, but to the age. In so many different ways, in morality, in faithfulness, in how to be civil in a civil society, all of those things, we just kept conforming and conforming and conforming. And now we're standing here wondering, how in the world did we get here? It's because we didn't listen to this. We did not allow the Word of God and the power of the sacraments to transform our minds. Now, here the scripture is not just a head thing. It's one that sinks into and makes a transformation of the heart and transforms what we choose to do, what we allow ourselves to see and participate in, and to focus our priorities on what really matters over and above anything and everything else. What did Jesus say at the end of this gospel passage? What profit is there to gain the whole world and to lose your soul? But that's where we are. We need to open our ears up and listen to Jesus. And the word that he inspired St. Paul to write to the church in Rome 2,000 years ago, because they still apply. We need to completely turn around and reshape, refashion, reform our priorities. There's nothing more important than being fed in word and sacrament for us as Catholics. I will repeat that. There is nothing more important than being nurtured in word and sacrament. That's how we hear and respond to Jesus telling to us, to be my follower, you must take up your cross and follow me, which means to do as he did. It means responding to what Paul was trying to teach the Romans, to make of ourselves a living sacrifice to the Lord. In other words, put to death the things of the world and allow the life of Christ to enter in fully and completely, that we're living for him. And rejecting all of the corrupted influences of the world that we live in. And being vibrant, brilliant witnesses of light in this world. Drawing others to Christ through our example, our living witness to him.